Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Genesis, and this is chapter 22. And let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless chapter 22, to bless it into your heart, into your spirit, into the mind of your spirit, and into all those that you meet. We pray that it will, Father God, that you'll bless it into their hearts so that they will be able to transmit the things that they learn from these scriptures and through the experience of just ordinary everyday life, that they will be able to transmit your word into others. We ask that you open our spirits and the mind of our spirits, Lord, to receive everything in this chapter that you want from it for us to learn from it at this particular time. We know that there are many messages in every chapter. But Lord, bless it into our hearts, that which you want us to learn from it this very day. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
Chapter 22, King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Commentary, Abraham's obedience tested. Verse 1. Later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. Quote, Abraham! Exclamation mark. God called. Yes, he replied, here I am.
So he's not just testing his faith, because a lot of people say, I believe the Bible, I believe everything it says, but they are not obedient to it. So it doesn't just take faith, it takes obedience. If you have faith, then you have to obey. So, if you have faith, that is not enough. You have to obey. Okay, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of.
Okay, so this is an absolute contradiction to Scripture. Because it is absolutely forbidden to give a human offering. But, and so people can't understand why God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And they can't understand why he did that. Because it was in contradiction to Scripture. But the Scripture had not been written yet. The thing is it's very easy for me to understand why he did it, is because he wanted to show the world what it would be like if they came to you, if you were a father, and you had a very beloved son, somebody you loved a lot, and your only son, and you're 100 years old, and you can't have any more sons, at least you think you can't, and he wants him to sacrifice. It's because the Lord wants everybody to understand what a tragic thing it was for himself to give up his only begotten son. But he didn't let Abraham offer up his only begotten son. He provided an offering, a lamb, a ram, to take Isaac's place, just as he did provide a lamb so that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. And so people should, you know, put yourself in the place of God. What kind of a cruel God, a lot of people think, would that be to sacrifice, have you sacrifice your own son? He did it. That's the kind of God he is. He was then and he still is to this day. But he requires something. It's a free gift. He gave his son so that you could have salvation. And so the gift of salvation, it's free. But after salvation, after you have salvation, it's important for you to know that you have to continue on serving the Lord. You have to then take up your cross and follow the Lord. You have to deny yourself. You have to die out to this world. You have to bury your old life. Not just in a mock baptismal service, but to bury it every day. I mean, there's all sorts of things that I, my flesh would like to do during the day, but the Lord told me if he gave me the gift to write that I would have to bury myself daily. That I would not be able to go out and drive around and notice the scenery and go to one town, another state, to go out to the ocean, to go to the beach, to do all the different things that people like to do or like I used to like to do. And I said, it will be worth it, Lord, just let me write. I promise I will do it. And so, my life is buried. It's not the same as it was before. Before, I would go to different areas. I used to like to ride around, get out into the fresh air, see scenery, design things, do all sorts of things. But now, he wants me to keep burying myself more and more. And then he told me that I have to bury myself in fasting. I have to fast half the time. And now he tells me that I have to even half the time that I'm fasting, I have to fast from all sorts of different kind of foods that I love. And then God only knows what else he's going to ask me to surrender. I had to give up smoking, which I did a long time, many years ago. And all the different things that we like to do. If we're going to be into the kingdom of heaven, we have to be buried. We're not dead unless we're buried. And if anything is dead and it's not buried, it stinks. So, you know, this isn't something that people should brush over lightly. You should meditate on that, you know. Okay, if we're dead, then we have to be buried. From our old life, not the life that the Lord wants us to live now, but the old life, or the things that our flesh loves to do. I'd love to go to Montana, where I was raised. I'd love to go up to New York. I love New York. I'd love to go down to Los Angeles for a while. I like L.A. Some people say they hate L.A. I love it. You've never known L.A. the way I know it, then, if you hate it. Or you've never known New York the way I know it. That's why I don't hate it. I imagine if I lived the life you lived in New York or L.A., maybe I'd hate it too, but I don't, because I had some different good times in L.A., in New York, in Cleveland, in Houston, where I've lived before. I'd love to be in France. I love France. I'd love to be in Israel right now. But I'm in a little hick town, in a solitary bedroom with my pen, and writing almost very close to being blind. I probably write more things than most people do. For sure, more meaningful things than most people in the world do. Amen?
Amen.
And so, this is the sacrifice. If God sacrificed his only begotten Son, then wouldn't it be our reasonable duty to be buried too? He was buried. Amen?
Amen.
He buried his whole life in the Lord. And then at the end, his reward was to be killed, so that we could get into heaven. And then people, when they think of it as nothing, what God and his Son, Christ Jesus, did for us, and you don't even give it a thought during the day, but all you want to do is just do your own thing, then why should you wonder why God would just allow you to go to hell? It's because you just don't care anything about him. You don't care anything about human souls. There's no mercy in you, and so therefore you don't deserve any mercy. No, it isn't any big problem for me to understand why God wanted Abraham to give his son, his only begotten son, because he wanted Abraham to know in part what God would feel when he had to do it. And he had to do it for our sakes because he loved us so much. But do you think that God loves you after he did that for you and then you start thumbing your nose at him and saying, I don't think I have to do that? You scum. You rotten scum. You chaff. You lice. That's what the Lord thinks about you. And then to think that you can just continue being a pervert the way you are, and that you're going to get away with it. It's worth thinking about, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, in this quietness of whenever you get to yourself someplace alone, in attempt to contact God, maybe you will contact Him, it would seem proper for us to praise Him and thank Him for all that and to give us more faith and more fear of Him, wouldn't it?
Yes.
All right, let's go on to the next verse.
King James Version, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him.
The Lord told him that he'd point out the spot. He says, go up to the mountains and I'll show you where the spot. And the Lord does that all the time with me, and I know He does other people as well. He says, go someplace, and then when you're walking or driving to that place, he says, okay, turn here. That's what He did with me, even in when I went to Miami to win the Marielitos to the Lord. I wound up with a big ministry with the Jews, and He told me, go, I want you to buy property. And I said, where, Lord? I said, this direction? No. This direction over here? This direction over here? No. Over there? No. Over here? Yes. Go that direction. I went down there, and it was South Beach. And I saw all these different places down there that were really nice, and people just came to me and wanted to sell things to me for the church. And I bought them. And then I went to Israel. And then false charges came up against me, and some of the false Christians used the property. They went and signed it over to the government. So the Lord says, beware of false brethren. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you live and learn. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 2. Quote, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will point out to you.
No. You know where Moriah, what Moriah is? Moriah is actually Mount Zion. Moriah is actually where the temple of the Lord finally got built. And why God would ask Abraham to offer a human sacrifice of his own son there is always the thing that has perplexed theologians, but it's so easy to understand because I just gave you the explanation for it. Amen?
Amen.
That's actually where the temple of the Lord, that's Moriah, right there, where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. That's Mount Zion. Mount Zion. That's Jerusalem. The temple, or the temple in Jerusalem is. Isn't that something?
Yes.
So you learned something from this message here, have you not?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 3.
So remember, Moriah is the same as Mount Zion or Zion, Sion. S-I-O-N. The Lord told me to name my son, one of my sons, Zion. S-I-O-N. And he really loves that name, don't you, Zion?
Yes.
Yes. And my boy gets my boys get the messages read to them every day, because that's like a good father. Anyone that won't do that for their sons and their daughters is worse than an infidel. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Commentary verse 3. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood to build a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place where God had told him to go.
That's exactly where Jerusalem is, right on the top of the mountain. Amen?
Amen.
That is on the top of the mountain. Okay, that's where Moriah is. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Commentary, verse 4. On the third day of the journey, Abraham saw the place in the distance. King James Version, verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Commentary, verse 5. Quote, Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the young men. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. King James Version, verse 6 and 7. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
Many theologians say that the fire was a piece of flint. That's so retarded. Flint is not fire. Amen?
Amen.
It was a torch. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 6 and 7. Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the knife and the fire. As the two of them went, Isaac said, quote, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. Quote, We have the wood and the fire, said the boy, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? King James Version, verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together.
Right, and God did provide a lamb for us all. Amen? For
Amen.
Isaac and everyone. The Lamb of God. Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 8. Quote, God will provide a lamb, my son, Abraham answered. And they both went on together.
Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John the Baptist said. And it was Jesus. God provided a lamb for us all to take away our sins. All right, then what else?
King James Version, verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Commentary, verse 9. When they arrived at the place where God had told Abraham to go, he built an altar and placed the wood on it. Then he tied Isaac up and laid him on the altar over the wood. King James Version, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Commentary, verse 10. And Abraham took the knife and lifted it up to kill his son, as a sacrifice to the Lord. King James Version, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Commentary, verse 11. At that moment, the angel of the Lord shouted to him from heaven, quote, Abraham, exclamation mark, Abraham, exclamation mark. Yes, he answered, I'm listening. King James Version, verse 12. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Commentary, verse 12. Quote, Lay down the knife, the angel said. Do not hurt the boy in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld even your beloved son from me. King James Version, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Commentary, verse 13. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a bush. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering on the altar in place of his son. King James Version, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Commentary, verse 14. Abraham named the place, quote, the Lord will provide, end quote. This name has become a proverb, quote, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.
Right there it tells you the mountain of the Lord, Mount Moriah, the mountain of the Lord, Christ died in Jerusalem, right across from the Mount of Olives, on Golgotha, on the cross. And then what else?
King James Version, verse 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Commentary, verse 15 through 18.
Just see how much God blessed one man just because he did what the Lord said. On one item there. So, it doesn't seem wise for people to disobey what the Lord wants them to do, because look at all the blessings Abraham received from obeying him. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Commentary, verse 15 through 18. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your beloved son, I swear by my own self that I will bless you richly. I will multiply your descendants into countless millions, like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. They will conquer their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me.
Just because you obeyed me. People find it very hard to obey the Lord. I hear wives calling up and saying, or and husbands saying, my wife doesn't obey me as the Lord tells them to her to. And they just can't even keep that commandment. Isn't that strange that they can't even keep that commandment? And she's not a helpmate to me. And the Lord commands them to, and they can't keep that commandment. And for a husband to take care, to make sure that his family is provided for, they can't even do that. They're not trying very hard if they can't keep those few commandments. Amen? And here this man is going to give his son, his only begotten son, and people just think, oh, big deal. Supposing you had a child, and the Lord asked you to give it up, would you do it? No, when it comes down to brass tacks, you wouldn't, because if you can't even obey your husband, if you can't even communicate with them, the Lord tells everybody to communicate to each other, the husband, the wife, the husband, the fathers and the mothers to their children. If you can't even do that, how could you do anything? If you can't support your wife and children, how could you do anything? If you don't support the work of the Lord by giving all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to it, to do something constructive for the church, for God's work, his holy work, how could you do anything? And how will you do anything? When will you do anything? That it has to hire outsiders, unsafe people, to do your work? And you expect to get into the kingdom of heaven because you have baby blue eyes. You've got a weird, wrong way of thinking. And what else?
King James Version, verse 19. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Commentary, verse 19. Then they returned to Abraham's young men and traveled home again to Beersheba, where Abraham lived for quite some time.
Yeah, you remember what Beersheba is all about? We just did it yesterday.
The place of the oath.
That's right. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 20. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor.
Okay, Milcah was Abraham's brother's wife, and she bore Isaac's wife, Rebecca. Did you ever hear of her?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 20. Soon after this, Abraham heard that Milcah, his brother Nahor's wife, had borne Nahor 8 sons. King James Version, verse 21. Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram.
Well, through her came Rebecca. One of the boys had... was her father. Then what?
Commentary, verse 21.
Through her, through him came Rebecca. Okay, then what else?
The oldest was named Uz, the next oldest was Buz, followed by Kemuel, the father of Abram. King James Version, verse 22. And Kesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Zidlaf, and Bethuel. Commentary, verse 22. Kesed, Hazo, Pildash, Zalaf, and Bethuel. King James Version, verse 23. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These 8 Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. Commentary, verse 23. Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. King James Version, verse 24. And his concubine, whose name was Ruma, she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. Commentary, verse 24. In addition to his 8 sons from Milcah, Nahor had 4 other children from his concubine Ruma. Their names were Teba, Gaham, Thahash, and Maacah.
What is that? They going to hell because he had a concubine?
No.
How come there's no condemnation for that in the Bible? No matter where you go. How come David didn't get condemned for having all those wives, or Abraham had other wives? Samuel's dad had a couple of wives, amen?
Amen.
Gideon had 50 sons, wasn't it?
70.
There you go, 70. 20, give or take. They all come from one woman?
No.
You ever know a woman that had 70 children? I wouldn't want to look at her. No, but I mean, you know, they say because of the fact that you talk this way that, you know, I must have, you know, scads of wives and everything. No, I just preach the Bible, man, okay? And it's true. There's no condemnation for it if it was ordained of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
Commentary on chapter 22, verse 2. The land of Moriah may be what later became Mount Zion, location of the temple in Jerusalem. A burnt offering, Leviticus 1:3, belonged entirely to God.
And you remember how old Rebecca was when she got married?
Ten.
10 years old? And her husband was, what, 37? And we ought to put him in San Quentin. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
Leviticus 1:3.
And Jesus, you know, God, when he inseminated Mary with the child, she was around 11 or 12. Was God a sex offender?
No.
The prosecutors are down here trying to put him in prison. Huh? For inseminating a 10 or 11-year-old girl. Can you believe that? What kind of a God is that? See, these are just Satan's standards that you hear today, and people believe them. That's why the Bible says that the whole world is deceived. Okay, go ahead.
Leviticus
1. I mean, I might as well preach the whole Bible. I don't want to withhold. It's been withheld for so many years. But it's, and I, you know, these things came out in court, you know. They said, oh, that you preach such things as this. Yes, I do preach the Bible. Okay, is that a sin?
No.
Okay. If you find a scripture that says, no polygamist shall enter the kingdom of heaven, I'll eat the Bible. Amen? You know what the Lord hates is divorce. Anyone that thinks that they can divorce themselves from a marriage, he sends you to hell. Save for the cause of adultery. Now, if you commit adultery, it's all right to get a divorce from that person. Well, they say, aren't you supposed to forgive? I say, yes, you can forgive, but you sure don't want to crawl back in the sack with them. Amen?
Amen.
Well, why? Well, because they might have AIDS. Amen?
Amen.
It's like I heard a preacher one time, not long ago, preaching. He says, now I can go into a person's yard and there's a dog there and they can bite me on the leg. He says, I can forgive the dog, but I'm sure not going to go back in that yard again. Amen?
Amen.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that if you forgive one another that you have to get back in bed with them. Or if you forgive the dog that you have to go back in the yard with him. Huh?
No.
Because you know what the dog's habits are. It's a bad dog. Amen?
Amen.
Bad, bad, bad. Amen?
Amen.
And if you get in bed with a woman, you forgive her, for God's sake, because you're supposed to 70 times 7. But we can't really forgive sin, but it's an offense against you, so you say, okay, I forgive you. But I'm not going to crawl back in bed with a woman that would do something like that. There's no place that says that you have to do that. It doesn't say that you have to kiss and make up. You just forgive them, that's all. 70 times 7. But I don't really call that a sin that a person can forgive. Amen?
Amen.
If a dog bit you, a rabid dog, would you want to go back in the yard with him?
No.
Well, would you forgive him? No? Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you? No, it doesn't say that you have to forgive dogs, all right? But it's just a parable that this minister brought up, and I thought it was a good one. And every so often I like to, you know, when I hear something good, I think it's very good. Like that, I have to pass it on to others. All right, then what?
Leviticus 1:3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. It is clear why God chose a human sacrifice of Abraham's only son as a sacrifice. But Deuteronomy 18:10 forbids such practice.
Forbids such practice because God had no intention of anybody killing anybody, murdering people, or sacrificing people, because that's a horrible sin. But what he was just doing was showing the heartbreak of it, of him giving up his only begotten son God provided the sacrifice, not Abraham. Okay, then what?
Deuteronomy 18:10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch.
Right. So God would not at any time allow you to give your only begotten son that he did, because his son would not commit sin, and his blood would be pure enough to take away the sins of the world. Okay? That's it. All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, and Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 23. So we've only got three more chapters in the book of Genesis before, and that'll make us halfway through Genesis. Amen?
Amen.
And the devil's is madder than hell. Amen?
Amen.
And hell is not a curse word, it's a town. It's in the middle of the earth, okay? A burning inferno. All right, praise the Lord. God bless you till then.